Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It's the Red Men Podcast. I am Paul Machin, Chris Pajak, and Steve Hoare. Join me for this one, as ever. Is that the third one we've done?
It's been fun, though.
Yeah, it's been 100% of us so far.
100% fun.
Yeah.
100% of time works every time.
Yeah. We watched that again the other week, actually. It's a lot funnier if you remember it.
I disagree.
Some of it is. Some of it isn't. It's probably because there's comedy programs and films and all that kind of stuff that are so parodied and so overused that you can't. It's like watching the Naked Gun films now. They're brilliant, but it's been done a million. That escalated quickly is amazing, but like if I'd not seen that every single day on social media for the last 3 years, it would have
happened. I am known to use that on a big deal gif on more than one occasion as well, so yeah, I'm listen, I'm a basic human man. I like the basic of basic comedies. I'm very much of the masses.
Yeah, exactly. Coca-Cola and Missionary.
Socks on.
Come on, he's more than that. He's Dr. Pepper most of the time. You know this? Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Socks on all the time.
Yeah. Right. You don't want to miss the sock cap, to be fair. There's a window where you've got to take the socks off, or you're just a man in socks having sex.
I missed that window.
Deliberately.
Regular life.
I get cold toes. It's fine. Let's move on.
Circulation issue.
Yeah.
There's only so much blood. increasing amount of space. I was about to say, okay.
Basically, I'm only going to take them off for 2 minutes. Is there any point?
No, we remember a few weeks.
What about my jowie bottoms off?
A few weeks ago, when I said a giraffe getting a sore throat, me losing all the blood into one place is very much a lie.
Right.
That's a lie. It's such a lie.
It's been a busy old week for the football club and ourselves. We're going to talk about some of the things that have happened and some of the things likely to happen. We'll go back to Forest at the weekend, talk about the FA Cup draw, a little bit on the fact that Manchester City are top of the Deloitte Money League due to revenue. Okay, we're going to have a little laugh at Everton, because why not? Because it is the international break, so there isn't a game for us directly to look forward to, so we will do a little bit more on the bits and pieces around us. There is a kickoff question before we get into all of that. It comes from Owen Slater, who is one of our club legend subscribers on Red Men Plus. Oh, by the way, just want to point out, if you're watching this on YouTube, we have updated our logo to the Ecru style in celebration of the release of Jay Pearson's incredible Ecru story documentary, which is streaming now on Red Men Plus. More on all that a little bit later on. But anyway, Owen Slater, you can go back and wrap one Liverpool player, past or present, in cotton wool so they are never injured. Who would you pick and what changes will it have made/make to the history books? Chris Pajak, who's put in an inordinate amount of thought.
I don't like these because of, we were talking about it before, the butterfly effect and stuff and what it means for different things. So I've got a shortlist of players. I'll maybe talk about my shortlist after you've done yours. The player that I'm going to go for is Alisson Becker, prior to the Atletico Madrid game where Adrian comes in the Champions League. Uh-huh. It doesn't make any impact to the Premier League. We've won that, but we might win a European Cup.
Yeah,
if Adrian's not playing, so that is the most to gain, but the least to lose type of thing.
Liverpool end up in that weird summer tournament thing in the Champions League instead of having a summer off is the only potential knock on. But then again, the season that followed couldn't have gone any worse. So, but then again, maybe Alisson then get injured and in the season.
You can't ever get injured again, though, back. Can he?
You can't get injured ever again.
Never injured again.
Ah, okay, sounds cool. Well, I'll have that then. Yeah, that's good.
It's a good answer. I was thinking Mo Salah the second before Sergio Ramos grabs him. Just like,
Yeah.
But then the butterfly effect of if we win that cup final, does that mean we just keep Karius and we don't get Alisson and we don't invest again? So that's the butterfly effectiveness of it. But I'm quite happy thinking just having Mo Salah every game would be quite awesome. But we've almost got that anyway. So my answer is actually Trent. Just before the...
It doesn't matter when.
Just in general. Just Trent. Yeah, I'm just thinking back to when we had to play City at home and with all due respect to James Milner. He'd done well the week before at right back, but then Phil Foden just toasted him. Now, he might have toasted Trent. He absolutely might have, but I'm giving it. But I think if we can guarantee Trent's on the pitch for 11, you know, 38 games of Premier League football, and he's always fit and firing, it's the one area of the squad that I don't think we've got good cover for.
It's a good
choice. Like, I hate when we miss Virgil, but at least Matip Konate Gomez is more than adequate. I think we are really struggling when we don't have Trent, and we might see that in a few weeks' time. So I'm going to say, just give me Trent all the time, every time.
I have decided that the butterfly effect be damned.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have gone Fernando Torres.
Okay.
Because I think Liverpool win lots more under Rafael Benitez if Fernando Torres is available for more than 5 games at a time at any period during his time at Liverpool Football Club. With the greatest respect to David Ngo and his ability as a backup for us, you just think about that. And even like the
how great is the respect?
The greatest that I can offer,
yeah,
is that I'm not going to answer that question.
I had a feeling it might be somewhere around that level.
You remember this name?
Yeah.
That's what it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't that lad.
Well, that's no great respect on my part because I have an encyclopedic. Okay.
And also, like, I remember his name, and it's not for good reasons.
Yeah. He's got a cracker against Arsenal first game of the season.
Rainer's runs the pitch.
Why not? I'd go with Torres because, and here's the thing. Here's my thoughts on the butterfly effect, having watched. And without spoiling the Adam Project on Netflix at the moment, but there's a nice notion in there of, like, you know, if things are meant to be, they're meant to be. And Liverpool and Klopp were so destined for each other that they'd have found their way to one another regardless. So, hey, sorry. I mean, just to know what you're in here for.
Let's stop, mate. What's going on?
Steve's touching Steve inappropriately, ladies and gentlemen. I don't really know why.
Steve's mic's facing the wrong way.
Sal. Chris, I will continue to talk. Yeah, I want to know people's thoughts on this. If you're watching this or listening to it live, then by all means, please. Let us know your Liverpool player, past or present, that you're wrapping cotton wool so they're never injured.
Can I tell you my two other options while we go? So Daniel Sturridge, because I wanted to see what he would be able to do, but I'm scared of the butterfly effect.
So have we fixed that now?
Facing the other way now.
Why don't we just spin the pop shield around if it's facing the right way?
Yeah, absolutely can do. I just said around. Okay. So Daniel Sturridge, because I wanted to see what he was able to do. And also Marcus Babbel would, but I'm not sure it actually affects trophies won. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's tough because did Liverpool get closer after 2001 to league titles with Marcus Babbel? Not 100% sure.
Probably closer with Michael Owen than
well, Owen's injuries Babbel. All came really after Liverpool, didn't they? I mean, he had some early on in his career.
But he says himself, doesn't he? The hamstring injury does for Liverpool.
Ruins his life.
Exactly, is what it does. So it's like, prior to 2000.
I considered Michael Owen, and I was like, fuck him, he went to Manchester United.
Sad, so even though it would benefit Liverpool.
Well, we found his true colours out, didn't we?
Interesting point, yeah.
Sturridge is a good one, because we always remember, obviously 13, 14, Sturridge can't play that Chelsea game, can he? That's why Aspas has to come and take a fucking corner. So he would be, again, it's if you don't believe in butterfly effect, because if Rodgers wins the league, is he our manager for the next 20 years in a Dodge, because we absolutely love him. But if you don't believe in the butterfly effect, then that's another one, because that was a heartbreaking one. So if you had Sturridge fit all that time, because we was sans Jordan at that point as well, it just felt a little bit like we were running out of steam.
Is there just have Gerrard not be injured for his whole career?
It'd be nice. Yeah, but yeah.
Think about how we had to protect. He carried that team, but also had to protect them.
I thought about Steven Gerrard and I was like, is that not what drives him on to be better in the latter part of his career? Because he missed so much football up until the age of 20, didn't he? And he had those, was it growing pains and issues with his back?
Spiked
and
his
all
foot
that
on a fork.
Now, yeah. You know, he changes the way that he plays because of that. And does that actually end up extending his career? I don't know. Like, these are all things that, like, I considered a lot of players for this. And like, no one's mentioned Virgil last season. Mm-hmm. Like, what happens? Admittedly, what happens is probably we play Virgil and Fabinho at the back more. You know, Nat Phillips doesn't get a game and all that type of stuff. So Virgil might be just a solid shout. You know, we might do a lot better. But then Alisson doesn't score a header. And I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you did too.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely.
Good question, Owen.
Robbie Fowler's first question. Major injury, says Rick HT. I think it's a decent... That's again.
I'd much rather Robbie Fowler not get injured than Owen.
Yeah, just because we like them more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can go with that. I'm on board.
Yeah, well, that's it. He does his cruciate, doesn't he? He's in the time. And he's never quite the same footballer.
Divock against fucking that blue nose yard dog.
Oh, Villarreal. Yeah, for Everton. For Funes Mori.
Yeah.
He was in the derby. Did his brother play for them anyway? Yeah,
it was him, but and Divock was about to hit superstar. I think, and I'll listen again, Butterfly Effect, he goes on to still do amazing things. But I actually thought Divock was on his... He was just starting to be Liverpool's proper number nine. And he was having a really good season, and that idiot ended him for like 3 years. Like, he was wiped off the face of the earth. But the comeback story of Divock makes it like, you know, maybe he can lose an Achilles. I'm all right, but then he come back in the end.
There's a couple of like outside shouts that aren't going to make any difference to trophies.
Outside shouts.
Sorry, I've been at the caravan, Paul. We have lots of outside shouts over there. It's a phrase that I use a lot.
Podcast extra we're going to be talking about.
Danny Ings, I'd love to see what his Liverpool career would have been like without the injuries. And Jose Enrique as well, because I think we had our left back issue sorted for a while, and then we go into the wilderness for a couple of years. Yeah. But I don't think they actually make any
Fabio
difference.
Fabio Aurelio for that. Well,
that's
that
a great shot. That's a better shot. Yeah, Fabio Aurelio.
Yeah,
I like that. Was a fan.
But Danny Ings, I thought you might have an outside shout at Danny Ings, because I know
you had a real thing for Danny Ings.
I like Danny Ings. Yeah. Mainly because of those, that I had great respect for that Instagram photo. And his girlfriend was so fit at the time. Yeah. And there's a photo of him just sitting there. And she took the photo so you can see her in the mirror or whatever behind. I just thought, he's playing for Liverpool. He really upbeat, happy guy. And he's living his best life off the pitch as well. Like, I mean, I got a real... Yeah, and obviously Jürgen loves him to bits. If he could just score the winning goal for Aston Villa against Man City later on in the season. This is absolutely splendid. You're loosening the wrong thing, for the start.
It's okay. It's absolutely
It's this, so you can spin it round.
Oh, well, there you go. Then why didn't you just say that?
Because...
just leave it, doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay, sounds. keep your answers coming in. Andy Carroll, the myth. So Sunset Boulevard, yeah, God.
No, I'm kind of happy he got his injuries, to be honest with you.
If you've got any questions...
He might still be turning up at the back end of seasons for... I know he couldn't. I'm just happy he got his injuries, it's fine.
Happy, okay, fine, we'll leave it there.
He wasn't good enough to take us where we needed to go.
Even if he was fully fit.
Especially.
Yeah, if that meant he, if Rapper and Cotton Ball meant he didn't go and get off his barn at a festival every summer, then maybe he might have been a slightly better footballer as well, but who knows. Right, allegedly. No, but seriously, you've all seen the photos of him in the red cap, right, it doesn't matter. Right, okay, sad.
Okay, I'm leaving it. It's making it worse. Sorry.
Stop fiddling.
Stop touching your nuts.
Right, Sal. Right, let's move on. Who Knows Wins, our sponsor on the podcast for the rest of the season, where we last week did the Pick 10 League.
My word.
Oh, yes. If I were a rich man.
Who did you pay to do your picks
this week? I did them live in front of Steve. Maybe that was the thing, because I had to be sensible on it this time.
Need an audience to perform.
I am capable of performing. I've performed better in front of an audience. Anyway, so the Pick 10 week league last week, we had to pick for what we thought would be win, draws, or the team winning for 10 fixtures. You don't have to get all 10, which is the beauty of Who Knows Wins. I got 9 out of 10 this week.
And you must have won money.
I unfortunately
tenner or something like.
Yeah, if I can, we get the results up from
yes, I
from last time. We get the league up. So I yeah, it was all going spiffingly, but I had Leicester Brentford as a draw, and obviously Leicester were 2-0 up, and then Brentford scored with about 10 minutes to go. If they'd bagged that equaliser, I'd have got all 10, and I think I would have been, it was about 400 and something quid, I think, the first prize.
£481.28 of the pennies.
Now, yeah. But if you'd have got into that, then maybe it would have been slightly less, but you'd have won about 400 quid. Load, so there was, how many people got, I've broke it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 People got 10 out of 10, got 480 quid.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think in cup games that makes sense because there was a lot of big favourites.
Yes.
I just decided I came last, not to back them all, which was idiotic.
The West Brom draw kicked me on in a big way because draws are actually ridiculously difficult to pick, yeah, because again, you more often than not, you just go with the home teams.
I used to do accumulators all the time on just four draws across like the top few leagues and stuff like that. And I remember winning 400 and something quid on that a few years ago around Christmas. It literally just paid for me Christmas, which was brilliant.
Before we move on, can we just draw attention to who was bottom of the Redmen League?
Yeah, it was me. I
stayed Billy Big Bollocks.
Did you
last high
five
week
on the stairs? Yeah. You literally just swapped positions.
I overthought it. I backed Southampton to draw with City, and I thought I was in good nick until I very much
until
wasn't.
They absolutely wiped the floor with
them. Listen, I've had better days. I had the Brentford draw that you referenced, I think. Where's the hat? Listen, my thinking is now the next time the hat comes, we just don't worry about the backlog of the hat anymore.
No, we'll take it in. Well, everyone who's lost has to wear it.
Listen, that's debatable. Okay, I'll wear the hat. No,
okay, to the most recent person to lose.
Give it 2 weeks, lads, before you send the hat out.
Am I right in saying that you, Charlie and Si were all at the bottom last week?
I defo was.
Yeah, it's been a flip reverse.
Yeah,
Ross has been like constant six. It's kind of like Ross's life, that. Just like... Constantly just above average.
Okay. That's good. But as we said, this is what we were aiming for in this game. It's just to be in contention and don't wear the hat, but don't necessarily have the highs. And this is when you've fallen foul of your own hubris by being like, I'm boss at this, I'm dead good, I know loads about footy, and then you're bottom of the league.
We've literally not spoken about my results 3 weeks. So that's great. I'm in a great position here. Exactly. I'm not getting quizzed
Chris,
at all.
Can we have a vest of mediocrity, please?
I am a mediocrity.
Mr. Mediocrity.
Right, there's another league.
That's my wrestler name.
There's another league this week. Yeah, if you download the app, the link is in the description underneath, which looks good for us if you get it on that. And then there's nine in, because there's been a fixture postponement.
Can we show it on the screen? Yeah, so if you download the Who Knows app, Who Knows Wins app, rather, for those of you who are watching along, you can see on the screen there, click on the top slide there to the Pick 10 League, if you're listening along, I'm sure this makes sense as well, yeah, and then there's this week's games, there's some international friendlies as well, which pro into mix, but how's your League One knowledge? Wimbledon, Cambridge, all I can see there, like neither
lots
of them,
of losses.
They're both shit, apparently.
And yet you can't pick L.
Yeah, no, but, Doncaster versus Charlton, how's your League One knowledge going there? 95% of people are picking Charlton. I might just follow the crowd on that one. Ipswich, oh my God, Plymouth have won like loads of games, apparently.
Flying.
So yeah, Plymouth looks like they're nailed on there. We've got Chef Wed versus Cheltenham. I thought Cheltenham was a race course. Shrewsbury versus Lincoln. Oh, there's a lot of action on Shrewsbury. And then we've got international friendlies. Nobody's predicted Ireland to get anything. Belgium. 100% of people are picking Belgium to go to Ireland and win, which is understandable. Everyone's picked England to beat Switzerland as well in a friendly.
Ooh, that's got draw written all over.
It might have that, yeah. Spain versus Albania. Unsurprisingly, everyone's going for Spain in that one. Denmark going to the Netherlands. 5% are going for the draw, 95% going for the Netherlands. And then,
when did we drop Holland as a thing to call the Netherlands?
Isn't the reason Holland's a part of the Netherlands?
I don't know. Is that why?
Yeah, I think so.
I got told off when we did like Redmen Euros years ago to stop calling Ireland ERA because I just had that stuck in my head from an old tracksuit manager game on the Amiga from back in the day, and I always thought it was like, that's quite good. Like saying Internationale, like, instead of saying Inter Milan, it's like, oh, that shows I've got a great amount of knowledge. We're like, don't do that. Yeah. I was like, okay, sounds, yeah, fine. Yeah, whatever you say, fine. Yep, yeah, cool. Not gonna, don't tread on Irish toes. Don't tread on Irish toes.
Don't mess those Dutch.
There's
probably a reason that he want to be called the Netherlands that we're not clever enough to know. But yeah, let's go for England.
Here's a question for you, by the way, before we crack on. I've asked this in other places. Why does each country and language have their own name for other countries? Why not?
Because they think they're the most important country and language. It's that, isn't it?
Like, hubris.
Yeah.
Actually. The French do it right sometimes, don't they? When it's like, what is it? Is it
a descriptive version of it?
Well, no. Sometimes they just use the word because the English came up with it. Sometimes I can't remember.
French as a rule in language don't like new words,
yeah.
So they tend to use. They tend to describe what it is rather than create a new word in that regard. Yeah, yeah. That's why you end up with like magnetoscope instead of.
The French is for postponed, that's what Morgan versus Oxford is because of international culture. There's only 9 games to pick from there, so you might 9 might be enough this week, but you gotta
get involved. The link in the description, as mentioned, you don't need to get all 10, so that's the difference between that and an ACHA. And an ACHA, obviously, you're aiming for perfection, whereas this one, I'll be honest, a little disappointing that 9 didn't get me more, but also in reality, it was an easier week, quite clearly, and I've done well in the easier week, which actually is more disrespectful to Steve's abilities when you really think about it, because even in an easy week, he couldn't do it. But the proof is, if I can do it, then you can do it too. So get involved and hopefully get yourself a little bit of dough as well, which is nice.
Gamble responsibly.
Of course, make sure that you do all that good stuff as well. And do just click the link, download it. It's good fun. If you don't want to, by the way, if you're not into all that kind of stuff, then please don't feel forced. We're going to do it. We're having a good laugh with it. But you can just enjoy it tangentially. Enjoy it vicariously through us if you're not into that whole thing. But yeah, other than that, let's move on. Last game, Forest, Liverpool. It was a tough game, but you know the thing that ultimately strikes me, I think we have a tough way of analysing these games when you're playing teams lower down the football pyramid, and you looked at the quality that Liverpool put out, but Liverpool made 7 changes for a football match and were able to, by hook or by crook, get across the line. That's a good thing, and it's also a good thing that really, beyond this next 5 minutes or something, we'll just remember that Liverpool beat Nottingham Forest and got to the semis more than anything else.
Literally, isn't it? Quarter final, last game of a massive slog. So it was just getting by it. And as again, me and Chris both were on the final word show on Redmen Plus this weekend. We basically said, like, it was almost a lose-lose Liverpool. If you win Nottingham, beat Nottingham Forest, it is what it is. You beat Nottingham Forest, then you lose. You know, the quad's over, and it's one of the biggest results of the season. There was lads who needed minutes. There was lads who were injured. Lads who needed rest. And I think it all played into it. Like, I think Jürgen was lucky. He did pick a strong team. Like, I think he wanted to pick a stronger team as pretty much he had, other than the fact that he was desperate to give Sadio rest. The rest were enforced changes, pretty much, wasn't he? So he's gone as strong as maybe he thought he could in terms of medical and stuff. And listen, again, like you said, I don't remember really putting in the quarterfinals when we won the League Cup. In that treble season, I could work it out by going back in my head. I think it might have been Aston Villa, maybe. All intents and purposes, and I think that's wrong. Actually, I think it was hopefully awful.
Anyway, it proves your point.
It's like no one cares. All we'll care about is finals and who's lifting shiny trophies at the end of it. And you just get through it. And I said I think the break actually come at a good time for us now. Not only in terms of legs and physicality, but also mentally, it's been a tough run. You've had to be perfect just to close the gap to a point.
Yeah.
Like, we were perfect and we're not even top of the league yet.
Yeah.
So it's been a tough slog. So just that was like the last step of climbing the mountain and the last ones hard to get up to.
I think that's absolutely spot on. And we've spoken about this, Chris, and now what this period was all about. It's the boring stuff. It's the stuff that goes underneath. It's stuff that you'll never see and you'll never talk about again. We'll talk about the League Cup final, but it's like to the point. We did the Silverware Stories of the 2001 treble season. And I've written the scripts for the FA Cup and finishing in the Premier League and the UEFA Cup win as well. But you do largely go. Yada yada yada, you're in the final. Yada yada yada, the rest, you know, to the point in which you're in the decisive games. We're yet to see what those decisive games are because we're not in the future yet. And that's all this is all about. This is just like laying the groundwork is, I suppose, the simplification of it all. Doesn't mean it's, you know, doesn't add to the fun of it being this period because there's so much pressure on us now. 2001's different because we're flying by the seat of our pants and it's. Liverpool haven't been good for a long time, there's probably more pressure that comes with it externally and maybe internally as well, because he talks about that need for perfection. But really, yeah, that's what this was. It was just, hopefully when we get back from the international break, that's when you start to reap the benefits.
You know, when I think back to 2001 and we were going to, was it the 1-4 in town for a lot of the games and stuff like that? Like, you know, we're at the age where you can go out drinking and stuff like that. We're able to go and enjoy that for the first time, really, of Liverpool going into Europe and all that type of stuff on our own terms and doing well in it as well. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, we do that every year and there's a pressure that comes with that and, you know, you've got to get so far for it to even be a success in the season, you know what I mean? And, you know, you go out at the group stage of the Champions League and it's an absolute disaster. Whereas, you know, when you first get back into the Champions League, it's just nice to be there and go and have six games in the Champions League, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whereas now that's all changed. The pressure's there, of course. What I loved about the game at the weekend, and I said this to Steve yesterday, is I started writing the agenda for the final word and I was like, it's a nice mix of youth and experience. Like, no, scratch that, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was a mix of experienced players and experienced players lacking minutes.
Yes.
And talk about laying the foundations for the rest of your season. You're giving the experienced players that don't have minutes.
Yep.
And you don't know when you're going to need them next. And that's important. So it's really important that these lads got through that 90 against Nottingham Forest, got the result, because you don't know who you're going to need in the next few weeks and stuff like that. Like, it's already looking like we may or may not need an understudy to Trent Alexander-Arnold. So Gomez playing a game there is a good thing, even if you're planning on Milner, because you might need Gomez somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, with a couple of days looking back on the game, it's just great to go through, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, no, completely on that. It's like anything, isn't it? You just, yeah, it either ends in silverware or it doesn't. And if it ends in silverware, you're not arsed. And ultimately, if it falls short, you're asked because you've gone out, but how you got to that stage becomes irrelevant. So ultimately, it is irrelevant how you get through, particularly in cup football, because cup football can go all different kind of ways. If the best team always won, then there wouldn't be all these magic of the FA Cup stories. It would be another. I mean, the League Cup, largely the best team that wants to go for the League Cup normally wins the League Cup. Whereas that's actually
best squad.
Yeah, exactly. It's not always true of the FA Cup. So that's why you end up with Millwalls and Middlesbroughs and Wiggins and stuff in those kind of situations.
I think as well, Paul. I think it's fair to say, like, we've been winning, but we haven't been great. And that's why I think, again, this game was almost like the culmination. I bet if you had one more game, that might have been the game where you dropped points or you lost it. Or, you know what I mean? I think we were almost at the point now where it's been a slog.
Particularly because it's Forest as well. Like, I think it adds to the slog because there is a thing of going, well, we should be beating these. And, you know, and underestimating that they're going to come out, give everything. They've got a whole, they'll be geared. Everything in their DNA of that match is geared up towards causing an upset, trying to stop you from doing your
since
thing.
Leeds, really, that's 6-0. I think we've won. We keep winning, but it hasn't been brilliant. It hasn't been dominating Liverpool, has it? I think, like, there's lads who are lacking sharpness, lads who are lacking minutes. Then we get injuries, and then there's a COVID, a little mini COVID outbreak, or whatever have you. So it just feels like we got over the line in that one, and then we need someone to come over us. You know, not that big silver blanket at the end of a marathon. Yeah. This international break is very much we're getting wrapped in the tinfoil of recovery
around
now.
The gas and air.
Yeah, we just about got there, and we got there because we're quality and the quality of player we've got, who can just do something out of nowhere and make a magic moment out of nowhere. And ultimately, in the last few games, we've got that. Like Arsenal, when we beat them, we were good, but it was two moments, bang bang, and again at Nottingham Forest, it was. You get a bit of luck because their lad misses a city, go down the other end, great cross, great finish. Just that extra bit of quality shone in the end. But I think, like I say, not to reiterate too much, is that I think that was a tough game in terms of where it was in the calendar. And I think everyone now would be happy just to go, even if they are going to fly and play for England or Ireland or wherever they're going, all across the world now, just a break from it. Just get a week away and then you can come back for Watford and go, right, we switch on again.
Yep.
It's hard. I think it's hard to be so switch on all the time, focus, next game.
And Klopp, I actually think it's interesting because Klopp referenced a couple of times, particularly with like Arsenal, how many times Arsenal have played since we last played them. Liverpool have played 13,
double
time,
whatever. Double, yeah.
Yeah, effectively double the amount of games. It's on his mind. And again, they all know. And I think that goes back into the whole go and get your break at the end of January, go and recharge the batteries, because when you come back it's this. And then Robbo's talking about getting back for the international break and being foot to the floor to the end of the season. They've clearly chunked the season up to psychologically help them get through it. Just moving forward then, obviously we saw the semi-final draw, as in-depth as it was. It was Robbie Fowler pulling four circles out of a cloth. Not quite how we would have had it. I think we'd have all preferred Crystal Palace, to be perfectly honest. Because ultimately, and I think this works both ways, if you want to win trophies, you're going to have to play City or Chelsea in this world at some point down the line. I think this does add to the anxiety and the stress of it all, particularly City, because they've got whether their aura's cracking in other ways, it doesn't feel like that to us. Because you still know that we're capable of beating them, but they feel increasingly in the last couple of years capable of beating us more than they certainly felt like we had their number for a little while. But it kind of is what it is, you know. You've got to take it at face value.
I genuinely believe that the squad doesn't think like us as fans. Mm. They're the hunted in this scenario. That's what Manchester City are. Liverpool are the hunters. They're coming for their trophy, their Premier League title. That's what they're after. They've closed the gap. Man City are on the back foot, make no mistake about it. They're very much backs against the wall, doing everything they can to keep Liverpool off them. Yeah. Liverpool are there to maul them. Liverpool want these type of things. Don't tell me the squad don't want to have an opportunity for greatness. I'm a shithouse.
Yes.
I don't want to play Manchester City in games because of the idea that find that we're not good enough.
Yeah.
You think a fucking sportsman thinks like me? Fuck off.
Yeah,
a sportsman wants the exact opposite. They want to go up against the best, beat the best and be the best.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
And Manchester City right now are running scared, I believe. Liverpool are after them. Their focus has been there. Manchester City have focused on the Liverpool game in a defensive point of view for months now.
Yeah.
You're right. And listen, we're probably going to have to both of them. You say you've got to be City or Chelsea to win trophies, but we're probably going to have to be. The odds are that Chelsea will get through Palace, so we're going to have to run the gauntlet to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like...
just for the FA Cup.
And that literally just, yeah. And then, listen, there's a option of one of them very much could be in the Champions League final, the way the drawers point out. So it might be again, if we get that far, touch what we do. We've got to go through it again. But I think these are three of the top five teams in Europe. I think...
yeah.
I think I'd throw obviously Bayern Munich in there, and then I was thinking Madrid until the other day when they got absolutely blown away. But in general, we're in a league and in a competition now where this is where we are because we're all so good. And I'd say I think us in City and the league shows it are just a level above Chelsea, but it's a very small level. So you're right in saying. Ideally, the draw would have been let them two knock each other out. One of them get knocked out in the semis, we'll hopefully take care of Crystal Palace and we'll pick up the remains of whoever you've got left in the final. Liverpool are going to have to run the gauntlet, and we're more than capable of doing so. And ultimately, mate, my thinking is if you're the best team in the competition, then you'll win it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just got to. It is more difficult, and it's more difficult where the semi-finals is placed within the calendar as well.
I think it's hard because then again, this is where we're at. We haven't had to experience this now for. It's been 2 years coming up. Well, this is the third year since we really had to go up against Manchester City because we pissed the league when we won it. Then we absolutely catastrophically collapsed in the league, and now we're going through, and it looked a little bit like it had all fallen apart in January. But now we're here, and now we're not just here in the league again. If we're going to win, it's very likely that we'll meet City if we get to the final. Very likely you'd meet City in the Champions League final as well. So it is hard, and the thing that gets me is. I think back to the season when Liverpool have been successful in cup competitions and who you've beaten to get to the final and to win it. Winning the Champions League in 2005, a lot's made of that AC Milan side. They were amazing. They had miles better players than us across the board. But we beat Chelsea on the way there, who were, like, that was the title winning. Chelsea had already beaten us in the League Cup final that season. We beat champions-elect Juventus at that point, as well. And then you think about to 2001, we beat, like, Roma and Barcelona and all that kind of stuff. You beat these brilliant teams. But the thing is, this time around, I think we're better than everything else in every other league, but City are this they're just like the final boss, aren't they? It's like that mirror match, fight yourself, fight your inner demons, and that's what Man City are, and that's why, I don't know, it's just pure shithousery. I'd love an easy route to a final and know that you've got, I'd love Wigan in the final or something. You know what I mean? Great.
The flip side is, right, we've had pretty good luck in the Champions League draw.
Yeah,
apart
from the group stage where we were in the hardest.
But even then, the way that turned out, they weren't all that really. Of Inter were actually the hardest team we played, weren't they? But like getting Benfica, it's hard. I mean, everyone always says, "Oh, Man City's cup draws and they go far because the draws they do," but they also go far because they're really good.
Yeah.
It does help and it will help. But listen, we've got to the FA Cup semi final, having played, you know, a relatively straightforward fixture list. Really, we've got, you know. What was it, Shrewsbury and Cardiff, and then you're going to beat Norwich again, and you know, it sounds. And then
we had a tough draw in the Carabao, if you think about it. How many Premier League teams did we play in the Carabao?
It was
Norwich, Leicester, Arsenal, yeah. Chelsea. And it's glossed over.
And that's the flip side. That's the flip side. It can be a bit luck of the draw, and it's unlikely that you're going to get the easiest draw every single time.
And moreover, to go on Chris's point there, we won that competition and still played good teams. Leading into the whole point. It's a bit metaphysical, but there's a point at the end of the season, months from now, and it's not long away at all. There's a lot of football to be played and a lot up for grabs, but it's going to be. I'm amazed that we're almost there.
You know, the flip side already.
It's mad that it's 2 years. 2 years since the league shut down because of COVID. That's insane.
Can I ask you a question? Like, do you think City, having been in this position a lot recently, because they've constantly been in semi-finals and finals, we haven't. When we've won, obviously the league, we pissed it, but we got knocked out of everything pretty handily. When we were going for the league and the Champions League, there was two competitions. We've never been here with three really. It's been a long time since it's the big three as well. I wonder how that plays, because City should have an advantage. The flip side is they've never done it. They know in their head, they know how hard it is. The closest they got was last year, wasn't it? And they got beaten a semi final and a final and walked away with. With two. I wonder if there's a psychological thing there for us of we're not used to this, so it's like we're free of it, or the City have the experience.
I think you're looking around the dressing room, if you're in Liverpool's dressing room, going, this is the best squad we've ever had.
Yeah.
This is why we've all been brought together.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we need to do. We need to go and do what that team that we've been fighting tooth and nail with for 4 years couldn't. That would drive me on.
Yeah. And also, to be fair, like, this season, Liverpool and Chelsea have already won trophies. Chelsea have won two. Yeah, and you know, I don't even know where the Charity Shield went this year. I wasn't paying attention, but
Leicester won.
If you had to guess,
didn't Leicester win it?
I don't know. I've no idea.
Literally, that is genuine news to me.
It really backs up your point, though.
Yeah.
If they did, because City have won nothing.
And that's the thing about it is. City's recent experience is losing the Champions League final. And now, again, I've said this all along.
And the Charity Shield, apparently.
Well, yeah, apparently. So maybe not. Nowhere
that might be a lie.
Nowhere
now. Like, we better check that.
By the way, it doesn't matter because it's the Charity Shield. It's not the same. But the point is that they... I think City will win the Champions League this season. I think it's bound to happen eventually. And having gone to the final, not done it, but to the point.
It was. I was right.
There you go. Well done,
Iheanacho penalty.
Well done, Leicester.
In the 89th minute.
Congratulations, Leicester. Well done for winning the Charity Shield, apparently.
21-22.
Yeah. But yeah.
7 months later, you've got a hearty well done.
Woo! You guys did it! Well, best in England!
Leicestershire.
Yeah. And that's the thing that might play into our favour and Chelsea, because they always talk about this, like the great teams, they win the League Cup and it's the stepping stone on for something. I just hope that this is that, and there's going to be a pressure situation in a big game at some point in the next 2 months. And the fact that Liverpool have got recent experience, because I'm not sure if we didn't have that game, because we're a long way removed from an important game of football if we don't get in that league, in general, really. It's two seasons, and even they're going back to the league. We won the league at such a canter. You're going back to the Club World Cup. It's the last time Liverpool were in December 2019. Is that right?
Yeah, December.
No, 2019, yeah. So like that's a long while since we've been in a game, a decisive game where you need someone to crop up with a moment of brilliance or whatever to win it. So yeah. Just in terms of looking ahead to that, obviously international break now. Isn't it nice, touch wood, that Trent's injury has been revealed as not very serious. Yeah. Lucky
it's
that,
a
isn't
lot
it?
Of lads missing international duty this time around, isn't it?
Andy Robbo's got COVID as well. That's a mad one, like the Robbo stuff. And I think a lot's made of the conspiracy theory side of things, because you do have to have this stuff corroborated. You can't just make up stuff,
because the international doctors can,
because they're pricks over it. Like, I mean, and the reason you've got that like ruling where you can ban people from playing for club football.
I love the idea, though. Come on, Paul. Really, club international club doctors are going to fly out to see someone with COVID and fly back to the squad.
I got a feeling.
Come on, really? There's no fucking way they're going anywhere near anyone with COVID. It is the get out of jail free card on international football right now. Why are you flying into the country, sir, to see a fella with COVID and I'll be back on the plane?
Liverpool, Google, images of positive lateral flow tests and just WhatsApped it to the Scotland team.
Just do us a favour, Robbo, just go and follow Thiago around for the next week. Just go and get. He's obviously a COVID magnet. Yeah, that fella.
Lad, there's a lad coughing over there. Robbo, go,
press,
go, run over there,
press,
yeah.
Press them like Edison in that game at Anfield.
Robbo chasing COVID down the left wing, just running after COVID. Get me COVID. I don't want to play Poland.
Yeah, Klopp's like, it finally got him. No. He finally got it. Yeah.
She's there, fucking going into bins for fucking tissues.
In all seriousness, I hope he's fine. But the again, the Trent stuff, it did just set everyone's spidey sense tingling a bit. Like Trent, who showed no signs of this whatsoever, and Klopp, in the last possible moment, his last public broadcast, effectively before going dark for the international break, reveals that Trent has got a hamstring injury.
And then since it's been, Liverpool expect them to be back in time for April and potentially Watford maybe the game after.
But if he's
in the NFL, they call it the Friday night news dump, when all the journalists are fucking finished, 5 o'clock, drop it, and it just goes for the weekend and no one's there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
That's what Klopp's done.
Because there's clearly a lot of thought.
Pierce isn't in the country. No chance. He's gone. Like, as soon as that fucking 5 o'clock hits, woof, see you later.
There's a lot of thought gone into it, isn't there? Because clearly the fact that Salah and Mane were just told to have the weekend off completely. You know, completely.
Salah
because
felt his foot, apparently.
Yeah.
I can feel my foot, look.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no. There
he comes. I felt your foot on my shin.
Yeah, there you go. But the point is that they know the two mega intense games of football. It's Friday's the first leg of that game, so they want to make sure that they're capable. It's like, we know you're going to want and give everything for your side, so go and do that, and we'll give you the best possible situation for that. So yeah,
and also that's it. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours with the international teams with those players as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you might see the benefit of that down the line somewhere.
So when Egypt or Senegal are playing in pointless friendlies during the World Cup next winter.
This winter.
Well, it's the next winter.
Both for true.
Yeah. Right, we are going to be talking through a couple of the biggest stories tangential to Liverpool Football Club, including City topping the Deloitte Money League and Frank Lampard deciding that the best way to brush off being handily defeated in the FA Cup is to basically slag off all the goals that were scored and call them a bit crap.
Next time, can someone give him like rating cards, like just numbers out of 10? I'd love to see that.
Yeah, no, not for me. Anyway, right, Sal, we've got a break. It is, we've got a crew crazy across our social platforms because Jay Pearson's incredible documentary about Liverpool's Ecru kit, its origins and how it came to be a cultural icon in the city of Liverpool, is streaming right now on Redmen Plus. Here's the trailer. Go deeper into the story behind Liverpool's most iconic away kit with this unique feature documentary streaming exclusively now on Redmen Plus. Go to theredmentv.com, sign up and watch it right now. Hey, yes. So yeah, that is streaming right now on Redmen Plus. Go to redmenplus.com, get involved. There's a whole host of amazing documentaries, features and interviews over there, as well as bonus Redmen content and extra shows, including Podcast Extra. We're going to take in a bunch of your weirder and wilder ones, the kind of stuff that we actually could not put on YouTube or on public podcast.
We could, but we wouldn't be allowed for much.
Yeah, it'd be the last one. It'd be the last one we ever did. We did one last week. It was good fun, so we're bringing it back again for this week. So yeah, head over to redmenplus.com, sign up, and you get those shows each and every week and loads of extra stuff as well. Boss.
I think we might.
You did. Yes, you did.
That was a royal way. Thanks, Si.
You two casually strolled off for the wee while flustered Si came in and sorted it as quick as he possibly could. And he's done a stellar.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Job. Right, Nick Harris at Sporting Intel tweeted this week off the back of a Deloitte article, "Hallelujah, it is truly a miracle that Man City are top of Deloitte's Global Rich List 2022, brackets highest revenue football club in the world, 2021. A commercial department like, check scripts, no other." Effectively, yes, he said, and he goes on to say, massive props to the Man City commercial team who derive 56%+ of their global commercial income from Etihad, Visit Abu Dhabi, Nexen, brackets partners with UAE, SWF, Expo 2020, Dubai, Wager, COF, Socios, COF, Emirates Palace. How do they do it? Incredible. When you have won the Champions League as often as Man City have done since Sheikh Mansour took over, which is one time less than he's attended a game in 14 years, or M0, then it all makes sense, no? Yeah, I mean, I remember, in fact, I don't know if you remember this as well, because we interviewed Ian Eyre about 10 years ago when he was CEO of Liverpool, and he remarked to us a bit offhand about the Man City thing, and his example was, it's easier for Man City where effectively their owners can come over and decide to pay 50 million quid for a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And that's how they get around all this stuff. And that's the thing about all this is that, I mean, it's everyone knows what's going on. It's the brazenness, I think, which happened. And I wonder whether, like, Brexit and the way the government have been handling just life in general for the last couple of years, and Trump and everyone seems to have emboldened everyone to just be like, we'll just be a bit more evil in public because no one's going to do anything about it. And I feel it's like City finally, the mask of, well, we've look at what Liverpool have spent. We've never spent £75 million on one centre half when they've spent, but they spent 50 on five. Buying Grealish was the mask clipping because I just don't feel like they care anymore. It's like, whatever, we're just going to do what we want to do. If we can get away with the
with the FFP stuff, and that's it. It's emboldened them, hasn't it? Exactly what you're saying there. Manchester City gained money, Real Madrid lost money, Bayern Munich lost money, Barcelona lost money, Manchester United lost money, Paris Saint-Germain gained money, Liverpool lost money, Chelsea gained money. Now, to be fair to Chelsea, I don't think they're quite as bad as the others in terms of how much money gets put into the club, but they also won the Champions League, so mm-hmm. I can see why a 30 million uptick would have happened, because mm-hmm. that, you know, you can probably walk away with 120 million, whereas the previous year they might have walked away with 70 or 80 million, so there's that all explained. So it's just essentially PSG and Manchester City that have managed to somehow make money when every other club in the world pretty much that's good at making money lost.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it. It's just we've come to the situation where Real Madrid and Barcelona and Manchester United, and to some extent you can see Bayern Munich up there as well, have been money-making machines because they've been at the top of football for 20 years, 30 years, whatever. So their commercial revenues are huge, and that's why those badges means that you can go anywhere in the world and see that. And so when you know that that happens, it all fits and it makes sense. Manchester City are not that. They're not a globally recognised brand or football club. And so, it's just...
Every airport has Manchester United, Real Madrid and Barcelona kits in them. Every JD up and down the country has them. You might see Liverpool occasionally in those places. You never see Manchester City in any of those places.
No.
And listen, it wasn't that recently when... it probably was very recent when they had the Premier League vote, like, you know, about... self-sponsoring almost. It was pretty much just it was Newcastle, but well, the Saudis, and the only two teams who didn't vote for it happened to be Manchester City and Newcastle. Listen, we all know what's going on with, like, either Manchester City have got the best commercial department in the world where they can wrangle out that extra bit of dough, or it's not illegal what they're doing because they got found that they weren't doing nothing technically wrong. It's just literally you can say to you, it's like me saying to Chris, do us a favour, Chris, sponsor me for this t-shirt that I'm wearing and pay me five times the amount so we can both clean it through the books. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, and it's brazen, but they're allowed to do it, so they're doing what they're allowed to do. Listen, if John Emery comes along and gets us to, you know, the Boston Red Sox suddenly sponsor Liverpool's away kit with a Boston logo on it and he pays five times the amount of price, eyebrows would be raised. And that's all it is. We all know what's happening. They know. What I find really funny is there's a section, and I'm not blaming all Manchester City fans, because different, who just blindly ignore it. Well, we've been brilliant. We got the Champions League final. We won loads of trophies. Yeah, you have. It's the commitment. No one's arguing that. Just own it. Like, just own it. Everyone knows. Don't beat around the bush. It is what it is. We all know what's going on. There is no way that your stadium sponsorship it should be worth more than, I don't know, what Spotify might pay for the new camp soon, but that it might be that ends up being the case, or similar, or what the Allianz Arena is called the Allianz Arena for a reason. The Etihad is called the Etihad because, you know, no one's when he's paying an extortionate amount to have you on the kit and the training ground sponsored by them.
This is a knock-on impact of the way that, because of FFP and
it's a workaround.
Exactly. And, you know, because I've heard this argument, because I remember the Toffee Boys making this argument prior to them being so lost in the world of Everton being in relegation form and all that, of an owner should be able to spend whatever he wants, provided that debt's not heaped upon the football club. And it's funny because, we wouldn't necessarily want that as Liverpool fans. And again, let's be upfront on this, because Liverpool's owners don't have the same financial clout. And if it becomes, if you unlock that,
if it's made into a pissing contest,
you make it back into the world of when Chelsea, when Abramovich came in and he just goes, yeah, whatever.
Jack Walker prior to that.
Yeah, exactly. Where you can. And some people might argue, well, what's the, who's arsed? And there's, the problem with rules is that there's when you have to put rules in place, there's people who will just find edges to those rules and find blurred lines within that and operate in those, and then they go, well, I'm still within those rules. So that's capitalism, isn't it?
The thing is, we think about FFP and Everton fans do and City fans do as about the top clubs. It's not about the top clubs. It's about the other ones lower down the leagues and keeping them in it. And it's about sporting integrity across the board and giving everyone an opportunity to be good. You know, and that's the thing. And
it's stopping shortcuts.
Yeah, and it is, and it's stopping. Hopefully, it's supposed to stop teams going out of debt. You know, going into debt, sorry, and going out of business. And so unfortunately, it's very, very difficult to have a one size fits all solution to a club that make. $500,000 over the course of the year to a club that makes $644 million. This is what they came up with. It's not quite fit for purpose, but it's also better than the alternative, which is to lose loads of football clubs, which have historically been great in the communities in and around England and all these other places around Europe.
Yeah, it's just one of them things. As I say, the thing that gets me is that because it's the problem with the. I don't want to heap this on Man City fans, because your football club's your football club. And I know we hold ourselves to a higher moral standard, but we'll never know. And hopefully we'll never have to know. We'll never have to have that tested, because, you know, hopefully Liverpool won't be in a situation where they're owned by, like, an abhorrent regime or whatever. And again, I'm not specifically naming anyone when I say that, by the way. And hopefully we'll have our football club or nothing tested in those kind of regards, because let's be honest, as much as we see this all the time, there's people from all different walks of life who support Liverpool, from all different kind of social and economic backgrounds, political backgrounds and all that kind of stuff. And you can actually love Liverpool just as much, whether you vote, what, no matter which way you put your cross in the box every 4 years or whatever. And my thing with the City fans is they're a little bit, because there isn't loads of them, but there's still enough of them who went through all that strife of being down in the lower leagues and coming back up again, and the honour that comes with that, that they haven't seen that it's not the same football club anymore. It's the old Only Fools and Horses Tigger and his broom, and how he swapped it to every single part of it, and to the point where it's not the same thing anymore. But if you're there and you pull your broom out of the cupboards and you go there every single day, you would feel like it was exactly the same one. So they haven't, and they think that the honour and dignity overrides all that other stuff. But there's tons of people who've just joined Man City as fans in the last 10 years.
Literally tons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just go and
dozens.
Yeah, Baker's dozen of people, and that's, yeah, it, I don't know.
The issue is, right? The issue is there's a rule, and Manchester City have exploited that rule, and they've tried. This is the issue now, is that can you close that off? Can you prevent it happening? The Premier League are looking like they were trying to do that, and you know, the self sponsoring thing, which is fine, but again, it's a bit like FFP in the first place. What FFP did do when it first came in was ring fence the rich clubs, because no one else had the chance to catch up. Because they were, and if the door closes now on this, City have already done it. It's too, it's Jack Grealish plays Manchester City. That isn't going to change now. Yeah. Regardless,
the horses have bolted.
Basically, Everton are in a mess financially in terms of what they could sign this year because they had to comply to FFP. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a competitive disadvantage to Everton because there was a rule that they were no longer allowed to get part because they got to the point. City have got to that point and found a way around it. It just happened to be that, visit Abu Dhabi might just automatically want to sponsor the shirt.
Well, again, Everton tried that, didn't they? Because they had, obviously, with Usmanov, they've had the sponsoring the training ground. They've done their own version of it, but in a much smaller scale. Yeah. And that's what it does, is it opens up to that, and you're seeing it with PSG and Qatar. Now, how many of entities can follow suit with that? But it'll be the same thing. If you're Man City or whatever, it's just going to open up. If you free those regulations, there'll just be five football clubs. There'll only be so many that'll happen to, because it won't be worth it happening to more than five or six, because there's only so many places that actually you can be asked to do it with. And so the landscape will change, but it will just, you'll have a same situation. It's just, who are those lucky five or lucky? In a
it's all about timing as well, clubs, anyway, yeah. Isn't it? You know, you think about Liverpool having most of their success in the 70s and 80s. If that had the change to the 90s and noughties, we'd probably have a league that looks very, very similar to France or Germany right now. Mm-hmm. Because of the size of Liverpool Football Club and what their commercial teams would have been able to do in that time to grow it. You know, we've seen how Manchester United have been at the top and will continue to be at the top just for being successful in the 90s and noughties. Yeah. They're never going to go anywhere. It was timing of your success and the money coming into the league and the television deals and globalisation and all that type of stuff. Yeah, right. It's never going to change.
The only thing is whether City, how far does City have to grow to get to the point where they can be a Man United? Because Man United can be owned by anyone now because the brand is so big and they're doing the legitimate sponsorship things. And that's the interesting thing about Man City, is that they are still being propped up. They're being pushed into this bracket, being held in this bracket by their ownership group. And if that ownership group goes away and it's not replaced by someone who does a similar type of thing, where would they fall down to? And they would probably fall down to being a Premier League level, a good Premier League level football team. Yeah, yeah.
In terms of commercial value. And I think it must be disheartening if you're Liverpool, because I think, FSG, pros and cons, we don't need to go down that debate. One thing they are really good at is the commercial side of things, like the access, the access training ground, the Standard Chartered deal, the deal with Nike. I get press releases every 2 or 3 weeks to my email address of Liverpool have signed a new commercial partner doing drinks and food and data and everything, and they're really good at it. Like, that must be quite disheartening to be that good. And then you just see someone else going, all right, well, I'll just phone my cousin who runs that, yeah, and we'll just go top of this league.
Well, that's it. You're fighting against bottomless resources, and that's the thing about it. And you're right. And that's, again, the rules are the rules. If you're allowed to get away with it, you're allowed to get away with it. But it's just that thing of, and it boils down to me, and it's hard because we're so lost in the Liverpool side of things, we're so biased towards it, that I'm not truly sure that this is anything more than just our opinion on it. But it does feel like, and you talk about honour amongst billionaires, but it just, I just like the way we're doing it more, you know, and that's why there's a satisfaction that will come if Liverpool overcome this again. But it does feel exhausting, you know. And we're just watching.
It's like fighting Ivan Drago, isn't it? You can beat him,
but eventually, you wringing every single drop out. There's nothing we're doing that Man City can't do because it's just smartness and being canny and being you know, having the right types of people. Eventually, money will win out.
I have a flip side. Liverpool are better because of them. Liverpool have to be better because of them. Yeah. Liverpool have been better on the pitch because of them.
Yeah.
We've both drove each other on in the commercial part departments and everything else, and all the football people that we've had, I believe, are better than their football people because mm-hmm. they've had to be to get anywhere near them because that's just the way it is.
They're the bar and we're trying to reach it.
And just like it drives you on when they've got the Premier League trophy and you're a player, it drives you on behind the scenes to go and unearth that gem.
It's that thing. Is Liverpool, it's funny, Liverpool's pre-existing history and brand recognition and all that kind of stuff helps us in that regard, because I don't think there's many other football clubs who could go toe to toe with that, because
it should be United, shouldn't it? It should be United, exactly.
And that's exactly it. So you're right.
But United became in football and terms a beast because of it, you know what I mean? They just stopped trying because they had all that money coming in. Man City and the people that they've got could become exactly the same. Liverpool are running trim. Liverpool have always had to do it like that, fighting for every last fucking scrap. They're hungry and they want
to
do it.
Paul, sorry, just to move on, send it back to a football sense, because it's us chasing them, everyone's still pro-City.
Yeah.
And I do feel like it should, again, I speak to some neutrals, obviously we're doing the Around the League show, but a lot of them are turning around and going, now, I'd actually quite like Liverpool to win this league, because I think people are starting to get wise with City.
Yeah, exactly.
For a long time, it was City with the new kids on the block, and who would they stop? Mate, I cheered Aguero's goal like no other. Because it stopped Man United winning. Yeah. I didn't give a fuck where that money came from then. Mm-hmm. But now, because we're in it, I'm starting to get closer. And I wonder if other people are saying
it. It's
a flight
of fancy. And it's like, I'll be honest, Man City were the team I went on Pro Evo for about four or five seasons, because Liverpool weren't good enough to go. You couldn't play online with Liverpool because they were crap. So you go City because you've got no feelings towards them. You can't go Chelsea, you can't go Man United. Yeah. You're not going to go Arsenal because they were crap as well by that point. But so you'll go City because you know, and you like, they were likable and they like the players and all this and that. You're right. And as I was saying, my point earlier, the mask has slipped a bit. Like, Tottenham fans now hate Man City because they've tried to steal. You know what I mean? Like, we've got to try to prize away their asset for ridiculous money. The Villa fans have got the same sort of feeling about them. England fans have started to say, and it's sometimes the most simplistic of things, because we've seen it. Football mood is dictated almost entirely by transfers, because everyone thought Liverpool were shite for three seasons because they didn't spend lots of money on transfers and other clubs did. Now that City is starting to operate like that, they're starting to operate more Bond villainish.
Yeah.
It's easier for your average football fan to see it's overt, and it's more like easy to hate.
I say, in recent off, I spoke to Nicky from West Ham TV, loads of them guys, Watford podcast we had on, we had a load on Brighton, and they've all said similar things. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't mind Liverpool winning it, because I think everyone's starting to see. It was funny because, everyone dislikes us because we're the team to dislike. It's easy to, you know, we're easy to dislike for a lot of different reasons. Culturally, you know, our fan base on Twitter can be a bit weird at times as well. You know, there's a big media presence around us which people resent. So I think at first everyone saw City as the rage against the machine, but now they are the machine.
Yeah.
And we're almost raging back against them. And I'm starting to feel like, although there's plenty of people who still hate us, and we'll quite gladly just watch Man United slip away and watch Man City win all the time, because you can easily explain that, oh, well, he got the most money, it's fine. I think that we are starting to get to a section now where there are other fans of other clubs going, actually, Liverpool, yeah, they are brazen times and they are a bit annoying and stuff, but what they are doing is they are doing it the right way, you know, as right as you can be with billionaires, you know, I understand that. I just wonder, is there a time where City become hated? Like, Man United were hated in the 90s.
Yeah.
Are we getting towards City being that?
My worry is what I was going to say is that if they get to a point, like I said this all along, they win that European Cup, that puts them puts them in a bracket. It unlocks a bunch of new fans for them and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then if they get to enough trophies, all of a sudden, it's like Chelsea. Like people go, now you can't sing You've Got No History song, because they have, because they've been there long enough and they've won enough. They're a big proper football team now. Doesn't matter that it's only been a 20-year project, slightly less than that. They now at a point where they'll go on. Their reputation's enough that even if they had a mediocre owner, people are still going to come to Chelsea because it's Chelsea and there's a lot around it.
Yeah.
My worry is that people won't cotton on to it until it's too late, and City are so established. They've got a bunch of history. They've got loads of trophies. They've got loads of historic players all of a sudden, and then they're a proper entity.
Yeah.
And then you kind of go, like we are with Chelsea now, going, oh, well, you kind of can't begrudge them it because they've been successful. But I guess we'll see. Anyway, look, that was thoroughly miserable. Let's talk about how shit Everton are. Frank Lampard decided that the best possible way to deflect from them being comfortably knocked out of the FA Cup at Crystal Palace was to rank the goals in the most childish way possible. We've actually got... Well, we're going to play the clip because it's just for context.
We made it tough. Take responsibility. Players take responsibility. Quarter final of a cup. Start really well. Control the game. Allow a goal from a corner. Allow another average goal. Then a fluke goal. Then another average goal. Take responsibility. Come here to try and get in the semi-final, and we gave Palace a pass to get into the semi-final without having to do much. Palace didn't play that well.
We are shit.
Fluke goal, average goal. That was just a stupid, silly, smelly goal. It was a smelly goal. That stank. It stank.
If you take away the four goals you scored against no goals, you wear that. You weren't actually that good.
Palace didn't play well.
What did the Romans do for us? What did the Romans do for us? That's so funny. That's what Everton's own Twitter. That's Everton allowed that to go out.
Yeah.
That's what's fascinating on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Well, he's officially a blue.
Yeah,
that proves it now.
Just incredible levels.
Well, to be fair, he didn't blame us for anything in that, so he's not quite been indoctrinated fully yet, but he's well on his way.
He didn't do the wall pushing arms and then get off, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's honestly, wow. Good managers have done this since time immemorial. Of your post-match interview is your opportunity to speak directly to the fans and basically
on the
tell
club's
them
media,
what you,
by the way.
Yeah, and tell them what you want them to believe. Hodgson's a master of it. Allardyce is a master of it. You can get yourself more time in the job by just basically, because you've got, it's like people who read like Red Top Media, there's a good way to just win a percentage of your target demographic by having the headlines out there, because people will just read the headlines and they'll believe that. Because they just take that as gospel. And Frank Lampard clearly understands that. But, I mean, he just thought it was a fluke goal.
It's like getting
knocked out. Fine then, Frank. Well, you're still in. You're still in the cup, mate, because it was only a fluke.
It's imagine, like, I got knocked down four times in that box. Lucky punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucky punch, didn't see that one. Caught me on the nose.
Yeah. I was blinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Sneeze just as you threw that one. Lucky punch. Yeah. You're not that bigger than me. You're not that hard. You're asleep on the floor.
Genuinely.
It was a very... I used to prefer this other ones. It was laughing. Well, oh, yeah, it was good. You know, it was a little mood change. Yeah. This one, there was no mood change. It was constantly... It was aggressive towards... You got beat 4-0 and called the other team shit. How shit are you? Yeah, you got beat 4-0 by a shit team then.
If they weren't good, how bad did you have to be? And the thing is, I think that's what he's trying to say, sort of.
We're shit.
Yeah, but he's too... He can't come out and slaughter them yet, because he's just in a weird position. And the problem is, it's like a good example of this. So Gerrard has been quite bullish as Villa manager.
Rather bullish than Des Kelly at the weekend,
Yeah, absolutely. Means they did a good bit on the Around the League show this week on Plus. Go and check that one out. But even in the early days, he was quite...
Brazen.
If you want to be, you know, we need people to step up. He slaughtered the players without being totally too on the nose, but it was quite clear. It was like... I'm having to build stuff. There's a lot of players here that aren't really good enough and aren't really at the standard that we need.
I need investments, but I need to. I haven't. I know there's players you need to step up. I need money and stuff.
But that's fine because Villa are sound. Villa are just going to finish mid-table and maybe lower mid-table, and that's cool because he's got enough there that you can build from that and do more in the summer. Lampard's got to keep them in the division, so we actually can't come out and say these are all shit because what's he going to do? Like, what?
It's okay. The Everton fans are doing it for him.
No, but that's all of their problem. They're circling the drain, and they're like they're fucking pressing the flush. They're faster and faster. You know what I mean? And like they're sticking their fingers in and whirling it round, getting shit everywhere, while they're doing it. Like it's just.
What a very strange analogy.
No, I know, I went with it.
Why?
Yeah, but they're doing everything.
Is this something you do?
No, but it's Everton. They are so bad that they're taking extreme. They're going to extreme measures.
I can't believe you made that up on the spot. That's come from somewhere.
No, genuinely. Yeah, okay. But that's where they're at, is that they are...
They're sticking their fingers.
I've never seen... It's like the worst, most catastrophic things happening.
He's chopping it up with his finger.
Yeah, yeah. But
get down the plug hole.
But to illustrate...
Why is it in the plug hole? Why is it in the sink?
We're not letting this go, Paul. Yeah. We knew where this come from. Yeah. With a deep dark point in your mind.
It's to illustrate the point of the situation is so bad. The whole thing... The fans
What's
are adding the whole thing.
So the fans are the fingers on the team of the poo.
Go with it.
Yeah, okay.
It'll level itself out to the point of Everton are going down.
Yes.
And they are making that they're doing everything in their power to the point of lunacy of exacerbating
it makes
that
sense now.
To make it go down even quicker. It's like I'll come and make this worse. I'll stick my hand in there as well. Like,
grab the potato washer, lads.
No, honestly, fucking genuinely, it's fucking mental. Like, I mean, it's
spit on it.
Yeah, because that's the thing. What would you do? How do you make a tear?
Get the stick blender in, please.
Yeah, honestly.
What should you have said though? I can't say that. Maybe it is. It wasn't good enough. But we were good. We were good on first. They were inconsistent. We need to learn. That's the basics
but
of
it's
it.
The mixed message because he's saying. They were all lucky goals, but he's also and then he's saying they weren't that good. But as your point, he's also saying, well, we couldn't.
What he needs
beat
to
them
say
when they
is,
good.
they didn't have to play well to beat us, and that's a concern.
He does, and the point is
because we were crap.
He hasn't got a fucking clue what to say because he's not an experienced football manager, and he's never experienced this as a player, so he's got no life experience to draw upon. He's just used to being good and things being good and working out for him because he's Frank Lampard.
Yeah. Is that Sean Dyche? He goes, yeah, bad day at the office, we'll learn from it, we'll go again. And he'll just dismiss that it's happened because he knows, yeah, I know every now and then we're going to get battered because we're quite crap.
He's like,
Hodgson's the same. Yeah, we'll learn again and we'll go, but that's what Lampard hasn't got. He hasn't got the experience of the relegation battle.
He's like a upper middle class kid who's had everything and all of a sudden they face life and it's not, everything's not being handed to them. And now I am speaking from fucking experience. Mm-hmm. Everything's not, you know, handed to them on the platter and they can't work it out because it's always worth, and they've never had to understand what goes into getting you to that situation. Yeah. And the fact is, he can't, what can he say? What does he say there? We need more fight, we need more endeavour. Maybe that's the stock answer he needs to give. The point is that, and again, he doesn't know what to say. The Everton fans don't know how to conduct themselves around it because they are going to be responsible for taking them down as much as anything, or as a contributor.
Burnley fans know how to be in a relegation battle. Watford fans know how to be in a relegation
battle.
Everton
fans have just been beaten down for 20 years and told they're the worst, so it's self-fulfilling prophecy time. They genuinely believe that all the worst things can happen to them because every time they think the worst has happened, something even worse happens. We haven't got like the most Everton thing ever. You know, again, we talk about it. Getting beaten with a B team in the league, and then Liverpool put a C team of children and Pedro Quiroga in the FA Cup and knocked them out, and Divock Origi and all these things. We keep redefining the most hilarious ways to ruin their day, but that becomes a point where they'll drag them down because they think, well, they've got no hope left. And they've got no fight, and there's no reason to fight, and they don't want to fight because they don't want to get themselves up for the fight in case it goes wrong, and they look stupid.
So what's the end game here from Everton's Twitter account? Are they thinking this will rally the fans? Because it's like, it's one thing recording it and saying it, but it's a completely different thing putting it out from
honest
your
answer?
Official Twitter.
they haven't got a fucking clue. What they're just morons. It's the manager. It's just the manager's post-match interview, and I don't think they've thought about it for a single second. And maybe they have a glimmer of hope of going, ah, the manager's saying it's okay because they were three goals.
He cares. Maybe yeah. they'll like that. I don't know.
Ultimately, it's probably just because tick box. It's the manager's post-match interview. We can't tell the manager what to say. We can't go. That was a shit. Frank, no.
Did anyone check the comments of that and see what the reaction was yeah. from the Everton?
I saw Paddy Power did that fan denials on it, and it's hilarious. He's like, I think one the best one I thought was like, it was really basic one was. That's like I say, that's the thing I say when I lose on FIFA. When you get beat online, 4-0, lucky goal, fluke goal, offside, bad goal, didn't even count, 0-0, I'm still better than you. Yeah. That's kind of where we've been at with it.
Here so we go.
Frank couldn't rage quit that one, though.
I got a good idea. The five-year plan, friends of ours, Crystal Palace podcast, put the old like guy putting the clown makeup on meme on, start really well, control the game, allow a goal from a corner, allow another average goal, add a fluke goal, another average goal, take full responsibility. Brilliant. Absolutely. It's just amazing. Stupid. Peter Lee there. I thought he was deflecting. Playing as the first half of players we had was reckless. Ha ha ha. Yeah, he's a shit manager. He's not good enough to be their. He's not good enough to be their manager. Ultimately, he's not good enough to get them. There's a reason why all these clubs hire these relegation specialists in this situation.
They're hard to
you act. Don't hire progressive attacking managers in these situations. You don't, with the exception being maybe Eddie Howe. But
they spent their way out a bit as well.
But also, Eddie Howe is an incredibly experienced football manager.
He's been in relegation battles before.
Yeah, and
he lost a few. Lost
one. And he knows. And he's a good coach. And he's an experienced coach. He's got years of Premier League experience, so he can call up. And he's been a footballer at an average level as well, and being up and down those kind of things.
We just need Dyche or Hodgie to sort the shit out.
But the problem is,
Everton might stay up here because of how bad the teams below them are. But that's the saving grace.
They fucked it with the Allardyce thing by giving Allardyce the job mid-season, so they blew that, and now they wouldn't dare give an Allardyce the job because the fan base would absolutely riot because of how disastrous that ultimately ended up being.
Was the Porto guy, wasn't it, when they were spray painting on the side of the building? The guy was literally on the telly saying why you should get the job. So that was very Everton as well.
Just the shite, and I worry for them in as much as I can worry for them because I can't see.
I worry that they're going to stay up. That's my worry.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to let them off is just
Burnley and Watford being.
For being horrendous, and that's the only thing that's going to save them this season. Right, okay, let's wrap up. Any other business I think you want to bring to the table? What you've been doing, what you've been watching, what you got coming up this week?
I've got a stat show coming up today with John Harrison, who's a goalkeeper analyst. So we're doing I've put the agenda together yesterday, and he sent me some stuff over this morning. My word, it is in depth. It's crazy. It's so, so good. So hopefully we'll have a good little segment of that to be able to put up on socials and stuff. I'm really, really looking forward to that one. That one's 3:30 today. In other news, and I think I told you this at the weekend, I went away at the weekend with the family. Went on a big walk, and did I tell you that Lyra got stuck in some mud and like a bit of a bog?
Okay.
So we were on a bit of a walk. We were about an hour away from where we were staying. We'd gone on a big long walk and stuff, and she got stuck in a bog. So I'm like, right, I've got to go in here and get her out. So I run in.
Did you have like a song playing in your head? Like, I need a hero.
Banana Man, but... So I run over and I'm like, oh shit, I've not thought this through. I just ran over to try and get her before she fell. So I grab her and sort of throw her out the way. But as that's happening, my foot is going to Australia. Like, it is deep.
You're in the bog now.
So I'm in walking shoes, not walking boots or wellies or anything like that. So I push off with my right foot and my shoe is gone. I can't see. I can see the heel of it. And then I have to step through the bog to be able to get back to everything. So then I have to send my wife in after my shoe. And my foot is covered in fucking mud and water and all that type of stuff at this point. So Kat nearly flies into it as she's trying to pull my shoe out. You know, that whole back thing and that. She manages to keep it up. And I'm now left with this dilemma. We're an hour away from where we are. We've had a big walk so far. We're about half an hour away from the sort of midpoint of the walk where we'll turn around. So I've got at least an hour and a half walking. I've got one really, really muddy, wet sock and a shoe that's covered in fucking mud. What do? Do I take the sock off and risk blisters with a wet foot inside a muddy shoe, or do I keep the sock on? So I kept the sock on and put this muddy wet shoe into the walking shoe to carry on. We then have to go...
trench foot?
Honestly, mate. It was terrible. It was like, I can't describe on this show. If it was the other show, I'd describe what walking was like with that muddy, wet shoe.
There you go, the podcast extra later on, Redmen Plus.
So then we're going to some stepping stones, but the river's burst, it's banked. So I didn't know this, but Kat's taking photos of me and the girls going over the stepping stones, but there's water all on them, like flying down the sort of rapids a bit. So I get to the other side, and there's two that are completely submerged in water by about this much, maybe 8 inches, something like that. And I turn around to see where Kat can help me, and she's at the other side taking photos, the prick. So I'm now just like left on my own. I'm like, I've got to go. So I have to just walk through these wet, basically I walk through a river at this point. So now I've got one muddy wet shoe and one completely soaking wet shoe. And the girls are in wellies, they're having the time of their life. And then there's another put where there's probably 2.5 foot of water on the bank where it should be should be a path. Where I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do here? Luckily, swim. There's a log there. So I balance, someone dragged the log in, so I'm balancing down the log, like, and then I sort of tumble into the water a little bit because I'm not great at balancing, certainly not on a log that does this. And then I'm like, great, I've got to go back. So we have to do the whole thing again. So by the time I got home, my foot was in a bad way, to be honest with you. This and my mood...
follows.
It wasn't great.
Sounds like the new Uncharted game sounds a bit extreme for me, to be perfectly honest. Like, yeah, I had a good old week. We went to arcade club, absolutely, with my son, my cousin and his kids, and basically wiped the floor with all of them on a lot of video games. It's just good to see. I'm a big fan of just shooting games, feeling like a real dad. Dominating on shooting games is definitely something that makes you feel more masculine.
Bluey the cartoon has got a lot to answer for in my life.
Right.
Have you, the Australian dogs, yeah. Anyone who's got kids?
Oh, mate, it's amazing. It's actually funny.
It's actually all right to watch.
The Grannies episode, top tier.
They play Shadowlands. So I went to Stanley Park with my kids the other day. They wanted to go down. I don't know why. But anyway, I next minute, we're playing Shadowlands. And it's all right. I'm an idiot, as we all know, generally. So the kids, obviously, the aim of Shadowlands is you have to stand on shadows. If you go in the light, the crocodiles eat you or something. So we're walking on these things. And next minute, I'm a bit like Kath. I'm saying, oh, the kids look boss, get some photos and stuff. Next minute, low branch, fuck. Right, they've just sneaked through it. And it wasn't not only a branch, it was a branch, but it was like thorns. It was, no, like, I don't know, it's like holly leaves, but I don't know what they are, or spike. And basically... right into it, and I go, ah, my head, and I turn around, the kid's just laughing at me, and there's a leaf in pale, like thorned in my head, and I was like, fucking Bluey, you bastard thing. Like, I was just playing all the way home, I'm chunting, and I was driving home, and Claire's just laughing at me, going, not watching Bluey again, not watching Bluey, and I'm blaming this poor Australian dog for me not being able to watch where I'm going, because I'm too busy being a social media dad trying to take photos. It's my own fault, but it pissed me off.
Yeah, definitely. we've all been there, not literally being impaled by a leaf, but
I was stuck in my head. I should have took a photo, but I was pulled it out, fuming.
Seems like my weekend was all right by comparison. Oh, I did get suckered into last night watching Fresh on Disney Plus, which is the new Sebastian Stan film.
You tweeted about his penis.
Yeah, I've watched two pieces of Sebastian Stan content.
And you tweeted about the Little Mermaid in response.
He said, I'm watching Disney Plus and the strings he obsessed with Sebastian Stan's penis. But I didn't see the stands, and I just thought he was watching the Little Mermaid remake or something. And there's a fucking Jamaican crab just whipping his knob out.
Yeah, if you between Pam and Tommy and Fresh, Sebastian Stan's penis has been on screen more than I expected it to be in my life in the last few weeks. And that film, yeah, it's a good film, but fuck me, like, it's hard work, that, anyway. So yeah, I'm a little scarred today, but not as scarred as
literally
Sebastian
scarred.
Stan's penis. Right, okay, we had some super chats. Trick Josh, honestly, quality wise would you rather have City's squad representing Liverpool or our current squad?
I wouldn't change our lads for the world.
Yeah,
not a chance.
Lachille, this team equals their ability to manage themselves in the chaos of expectation. The boys have this amazing ability to captain the ship themselves. I think that's absolutely spot on there. The construction of the squad has been first rate. And Leon Geary says, Benfica both games and City both games. You have to choose to win one, draw two, and lose one. Which results are you picking for each game and why?
You'll have to say that again for me.
So... we play City in the league, City in the cup, and Benfica. you have to win one, draw two, lose one.
I would win a Benfica one and lose a Benfica one and go through on aggregate. I would take drawing against City in the league because I still think they've got another wobble in them. And I would draw with City in the FA Cup and beat them on penalties.
Okay, I'm happy with that. I think that'll do. Right, Sam, we've got loads more questions to come on Podcast Extra over on Redmen Plus. Kate Witherspoon asked, if you could have an Aguero moment at the end of the season, which player would you want to score that winner to get us in the Premier League? Amongst other things. And there's a bunch of other things, like if the Redmen team was participating in Survivor, who's most likely to win, who'd be the first to be voted off, and who'd be the most likely to orchestrate a brutal blindside. Let us
What's
know.
Survivor?
It's like a TV show where you fight for survival.
Okay. I like the one. Okay, we'll talk about this in a bit.
Yeah, anyway, for more of us, unrated, X-rated and beyond, the stuff that we cannot broadcast here on YouTube or beyond, get over to Redmen Plus and check out Podcast Extra. And of course, go and check out Jay's incredible Ekru documentary streaming right now on redmenplus.com. Thank you so much for everyone who's watched us live here on YouTube. Podcast back next week at 10:30. And of course, if you're listening after the fact on podcasting services, then leave a 5-star review. That's amazing if you could do that. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Pleasure. See you in, well, now. See you all over on Podcast Extra. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.